Let's just pray for a moment as we start. Lord, we've just sung, I want to learn to read your word, for this is how I know the way to live my life to please you, God. So, Lord, we want to please you. So help us. Help us to study your word today. Help us to learn from it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, bringing delight to God as we live for him and offer him praise. That's one of our purposes here in Laleham. That's what that little brown logo with the arrow pointing upwards means. I tried to find out what the meaning of the arrow pointing upwards was. And I think it must mean offering things to God. But I'm not absolutely sure that I haven't made that up to fit what I was seeing. So don't hold me to it. Today we are looking mainly at Romans chapter 12, the first two verses there. And it is this topic of genuine Christian worship. And I suppose my hope today is that we will see that only the Christian gospel, that gospel that was detailed by Paul in the Bible, only the Christian gospel, that's the only way to genuine worship. If we want to worship in a way that is pleasing to God and brings glory to him, then it is to be driven by, governed by that gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I suppose in a way it's even more than that. I want us to see that if we belong to Jesus, if we have the privilege of being his, we should be demonstrating through our worship God's good and perfect plan, not just for us, but for the whole world. So I suppose today we've got three points. First one is the finished work of genuine Christian worship. That worship that is pleasing to God is led by Jesus through the proclamation of his gospel. Second, we'll see that it's a continuous, a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week logic in this, a logic of Christian worship. And that worship takes place all over the world. And third, the positive demonstration of Christian worship, such that worship activity actively demonstrates the perfect plan of God as we live out his gospel. And as we start, I would suggest that nothing is more important for us. You know, today and every day, all over the world, people are worshipping their gods. Friday in the mosques, Saturday in the synagogues, Sunday in churches, on the terraces in the Premiership, on those trading floors in the City of London, people in the privacy of their own homes, on the internet, all over the world, people are worshipping their own gods. But what kind of worship is it that pleases the true, the living God? Well, we're going to see that the Christian gospel, that gospel proclaimed by Paul, enables Christians all over the world to take part in genuine worship, acceptable and pleasing to the true God. And even more than that, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wants us to get a sense of the privilege we have as through our worship we demonstrate God's good and glorious plan. Now, if you think that this is all about what we do here, and what they're going to do over the road there in the school on a Sunday morning, well, I've got a bit of a shock coming for you. So let's start with our first point, the finished work of genuine Christian worship. And we'll find that in chapter 12, verse 1, the first part of that verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. So what is it that Paul is saying here to these Christians he's writing to? What is it that enables them to worship God? It's actually the mercies of God. God has enabled authentic worship, and the Lord Jesus, he makes that possible. I believe here that Paul is really talking about everything he set out in the first 11 chapters of Romans. And I'm not going to go back through the whole 11 chapters this morning, but I'm going to do a little bit. He told us in chapters 1 to 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous. Paul explains that early on, that it applies to the Jews and it applies to the Gentiles. And that's everybody. And Paul goes on to explain that a righteousness from God has been made known by God so that he can fairly and justly declare people like us to be right before him. God has presented Jesus Christ to carry his wrath and judgment for us, for me. He has done it for you and I. If we trust in Jesus, we stand on an immovable, solid platform of grace. And we live out our lives with our sin paid for, reconciled to God. We walk around as forgiven people. We walk around as people raised to new life. All that is what it means to receive God's mercy. And in view of that, in view of these mercies, Paul urges us, it's a strong word that, isn't it? Urges us to live out our lives, offering our body to God as a living sacrifice. And that's completely different, really, to the majority view, a majority understanding of worship. You see, God, by his Holy Spirit, lives in us. Now, back in the Old Testament times, people made sacrifices. They made a sacrifice as an act of worship to get near to God. But as a Christian, God lives in you. You can't get closer than that. Jesus made the complete sacrifice. We can't offer anything to God to make us right with God. We're already in his presence. We cannot get any nearer. And worship doesn't get us into the presence of God. We are accepted because of the finished work of Jesus. We're in his presence all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God is with us just as much when we're in our kitchen or our home or our garden or our car or on the dance floor or wherever we are. He's here on a Sunday morning, but he's there all the time. He's with us all the time. The finished work of genuine Christian worship. Well, our second point, the continual 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week aspect of Christian worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Here we see that the gospel of God's mercy, the gospel we proclaim here in Laneham Church, the one we proclaim every Sunday and out there in the world, making known Jesus, that brings about genuine worship of God. It's a whole life offering of myself. What God is after is 24/7 obedience, and through his mercy, actually, he enables it. A living sacrifice really sounds quite odd. In most religions around the world, sacrifices are, well, they're either dead things or things that get killed in the process. But now, God has done everything that is needed to make us right with him by Jesus, by his death on the cross. We are wholly acceptable to God in our normal living bodily being. So now we can live the whole of our life to his praise and glory. So we worship wherever we are. Look again at the second half of verse 1 there. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The point is not I must make myself more acceptable to God. If you have accepted Jesus, he's already done that for you. You are acceptable to God. So you go out into the world as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship because of what Jesus has done for you. And you and I can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that is the wonder of Christian worship. Where does Christian worship happen? Well, mostly out there. Maybe we should put another sign up beside the fire exit signs there. We should have a worship exit written there. Because Christ has made you holy. He has made you acceptable to God. He sees you as pure and perfect. So go out to worship. Under our chairs, don't have a look now, but under our chairs we have the plum-coloured booklet, the service booklet. And on page 11, there's the prayer after communion. We sometimes say it together. And in that we say, we may bring life to others. May we give light to the world. Actually out there, all the time. We meet here to hear that message that we are right before God. And the right response to that is the kind of worship that presents the whole of our life as a living sacrifice. You know, we on average spend, well, just over an hour, perhaps 2 hours a week in church services. Some of us come twice on a Sunday. But whatever, it actually represents around 1% of our time. 1% of our week. So to say we worship just in church, well, that would actually make it sound rather trivial, wouldn't it? 1% of our time we worship. True worship is 100% of our time. And what does it look like? Well, I think we should look at Hebrews. Again, I'll read this out to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and 13. Of course, in the original letter, the letter to the Hebrews, there were no chapter or verse divisions. And I think sometimes when you read the Bible, those chapter headings can be a bit distracting because chapter 12 of Hebrews, it just flows, or when it was written, it just flowed into verse 13. No chapters in the original letter. Let me read it out. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And it goes on. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And to me, that sounds like a fantastic but quite simple idea, doesn't it? It's quite fundamental. Genuine worship is fundamentally the normal things we do. It's not some heightened ecstatic experience for an hour or so a week. That would be missing the point. And so to our closing point, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The renewing of your mind. That's your conversion experience, when God made you new, when you accepted Jesus. And I believe for most, if not all of us here, that is a past event, something that happened in the past, but with ongoing implications, implications today and implications that are going to go on actually forever. I became a Christian many years ago, and God performed a change in my being, a miracle, if you like, fundamentally changed my life. And the same for you. And Paul says, don't conform to this world. You've got a brand new mind. You understand the gospel. So be transformed. We're being summoned to live out the gospel wherever we are in this coming week. As we live our lives, we are proving the perfect will of God. We are people who belong to him forever. We are a living, talking, walking demonstration of the power of the gospel of Jesus. And what a privilege that is. What a privilege we've been given as we engage in worship. But, let me finish with this, but you will only do that actually if you come to church, to meet with other Christians, and that they speak the gospel to you and you speak the gospel to them, so that we can go out of that door, so that we can go out of that door to worship. Let me lead us in prayer now. Let's just pray. Gracious Father, we do praise you. We do praise you for your glorious gospel, for your great mercies to us. That by grace, through faith, you have made us right before you. And in your great kindness, you have come to dwell with each one of us by your Holy Spirit. We pray now that you would send us out to live and work to your praise and glory, so that we in our lives together, as your church family, that we can show your perfect and acceptable will to the world. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.